Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with someone you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One-on-One, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love.
I want to do my coach proud. I want to, you know, I want to continue what she's started. And that's really important to me as well, which is one of the reasons I took the job, because I feel like it's a special place to me. It's a special place to my family. It's where I met my husband, you know, so there's a lot that I value, and I'm very as much passionate about the university as I am about the sport of basketball.
And our guest this week is Lauren Stackhouse. She is the new head women's basketball coach at Division III Delaware Valley University out in Doylestown, taking over for Laura Hogan, who retired after a wonderful run at the head of the program. And Lauren, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start. You are a DelVal alum, so obviously this program is special. Why was this the right time? Like, were you looking to jump into college coaching, or is it this is an opportunity of a lifetime to go to a place that's obviously very special to you and you had to jump?
Yeah, I would say that I definitely was keeping my options open. I wasn't actively seeking anything by any means. I love coaching my girls at Ruston. So it wasn't something that was really on my radar. But when this opportunity, you know, presented itself, you know, being at my alma mater and obviously, you know, taking over for my own head coach, Laura was my coach for my 4 years there. There was just something a little bit special about that, and was definitely something that I wanted to explore a little further and see what the opportunity presented.
We were talking off the air. You obviously, as we're recording this, you got hired about a week ago. The official announcement was made. You are a teacher at a school system. You mentioned Ruston. You coached basketball there. You've got your hands in a lot of different pies. How crazy has the last week, 10 days been as you're trying to reshuffle life here?
Yeah, it's been really crazy, honestly. I have three kids on top of all that. So, and I'm a mom, so that's always, first and foremost, but it's been crazy. It's been a lot, I would say, emotionally, just wrapping my brain around, having the hard conversations with, former players and things like that. So that part was really tough. And then obviously, leaving a school that I've been a part of for, this would have been my 21st year. So for me, that was a lot to take in. And just, like I said, just the idea of stepping away from teaching was tough. But definitely when this opportunity came along, it wasn't a decision I took lightly. I really gave it a lot of thought. But, in the end, I felt like this was an opportunity I couldn't pass up. So it's been a roller coaster, to say the least, the last week.
About how long was this in play, as far as from the point where you really were like, okay, I'm going to go for it, to the phone call where welcome aboard?
Not very long, honestly. My coach retired on a Monday, the 19th of August. I was moving my daughter into college on the 20th at Widener University. And then, the conversation then started from there, people reaching out and asking if I would have interest. I did a Zoom with the AD on that Friday, and then I was beginning school at the same time. So for me, it was like everything was happening. Like as a teacher, I was already back in school, doing in-service days. And then the following week I had students. So my time was not as available to be able to come in as quickly, but I was able to get in that following Friday because I had off from school and that's when I got the offer.
So let's talk a little bit about your journey in basketball. What's your earliest basketball memory from growing up?
Gosh, I mean, I guess I remember playing, rec league back in, my days growing up in Heber Prussian Upper Marion and things like that. I feel like, AAU, I definitely was a part of a lot of great programs there. It's not as big as it was now. I mean, now it's huge. The AAU world in itself is a lot to navigate. But then, I had a great 4 years at Upper Marion. I actually had a lot of injuries early on, a couple of ankles that were, same ankle actually that was broken. And I was very fortunate to land at Del Valle, right place, right time. It was an up and coming program. And, my 4 years there were really, really special.
Was basketball your top sport as a kid, or were you playing a lot of different things? And then eventually basketball just kind of rose to the top.
Yeah, I think, I'll date myself here, but when we were growing up, you really played all three seasons. You didn't really specialize as early as kids are specializing now. So, I played soccer, I played basketball, I played softball in the spring. And even in high school, I was a three sport, varsity athlete from freshman year all the way through. So, I was definitely fortunate to, be able to play a lot of different sports, but basketball was always my love. I liked the speed of the game. I liked that it was constant action, no waiting around. But it definitely always had a special place. And then when it came down to high school and kind of making that decision, I knew that, basketball was something I was going to do when I got to college.
What are some of your favorite memories from playing hoops at Upper Marion?
I was really fortunate to play with really good friends. I had awesome coaches, Tony Funston, who was there forever, and then in my last year, actually, Tom Schertz was a new teacher and he came in and he was the JV coach, my senior year on varsity. And he actually is one of the ones that gave me my start in coaching. Our paths crossed again as we were older and, he was actually the one that I coached under at Downingtown East. So I was just really fortunate to meet a lot of really good people. And, like I said, play with teammates that I considered friends.
Playing at Del Valle, you mentioned being fortunate to go there. What's the journey that gets you there? Were they the ones that were the most ardent recruiting you? Did you want to stay relatively close to home? Like, what's the series of events that makes you an Aggie?
I definitely was recruited by, a good number of coaches. I felt, kind of an immediate connection with, she was Coach Ross at the time. When I went on campus, I definitely felt like it was a place that fit me, fit where I wanted to be. It was about an hour from home, so it wasn't too far, but it wasn't too close. And I feel like I kind of made that decision pretty quickly once I was there and once I had the opportunity to visit and, get to see a game. But I really feel like, coach was pretty persistent. And like I said, I just felt like a really good chemistry with her. And I knew that she was somebody that I could learn from, but also that I was going to, work my butt off for as well.
When's the first time you felt like you really made a big impact at the college level?
I don't know. I definitely never felt like I was the kind of the eye and team type of player. I always felt an integral part of a strong group, but I really feel like one of my core memories from that freshman year was the game that we upset Scranton at home. I definitely felt like a big contributor in that game. And, as a freshman, you learn the rivalries as you go, you walk into them, but you don't really know how big they are until you're there. So I think that was like almost beneficial to me as a freshman, because I didn't really know how big the game was. So I didn't feel as much pressure maybe as some of the upperclassmen did. So I just went out and played, and I think I had a double-double that game, and I don't know why that one sticks out. I just feel like for me, I knew how big of a win that was for the program and how big of a win that was for my team and my coach. So for me, that's definitely one of the things that stands out in my freshman year, especially.
One of the interesting things, I never had the opportunity to watch you play, but looking at the numbers, you scored close to 1,200 points in college. You almost had 1,000 rebounds, which is impressive. You're also 5'6". So you are not a banger, that's going to be underneath. That to me tells me, and you talked about being kind of gritty and stuff like that, that displays an incredible amount of want to, which is so key to rebounding and to basketball. Kind of break down more of you as a player. What allowed you to pull down? I think that's almost like 8 rebounds a game. Like, to have that type of success as someone who, wasn't there amongst the trees size-wise.
Yeah, for me, I feel like I had a really good knack for understanding where the ball was going to come off the rim. I always tell my players too that rebounding is not really a skill per se. It's just about wanting it more than the other person. I had a really natural instinct to immediately turn and box. But like I said, I had a good read off of the rim and I just wanted to do that stuff. Like, I really enjoyed it. I love that stat. So once I realized like that was a big key thing that I brought to the team that made the team better, that I really strive for that even more than points. I mean, there would be games where I would have more, 18 rebounds and 12 points. Like, I would have, more rebounds than I did points sometimes. And I liked that part of the game. I really did. I liked getting in there and being physical. I loved being the underdog in that sense because of my size. So I feel like I really kind of took that label and ran with it once I realized, you know, that was kind of like a special skill that I had, so to speak.
Where did your points come from? I would imagine, given what you just talked about, you know, you're talking a lot of follow-ups, offensive rebounds, cleaning up around the rim. Where else do you feel like you excelled offensively that allowed you to get the points you did?
I feel like I got a lot of buckets in transition. I love to run. So I love to run the floor. And I was very fortunate that 3 of my 4 years at Del Valle, I had an amazing point guard. Elisa DeVonaventura, now Kittner, was my point guard. And once I stepped on the floor with her, even in like pickup games and conditioning, and I saw her ability to see the floor, and I knew that if I ran, she was going to get it to me, that we just became very in sync with that. So I was really lucky that if I got out ahead, I knew I was going to get baskets in transition, and I would get a lot of baskets off steals too. Like you said, putbacks, because I was in there a lot underneath, I tend to get fouled a lot. So, I was a pretty decent foul shooter, if I can remember my stats correctly. But yeah, so and I still could shoot from the outside. So I really feel like it was pretty balanced. But like I said, having a point guard like Elisa definitely made, like I always say, like I credit, you know, most of my 1,200 points to her just being able to get me the ball and just, you know, even just on backdoor cuts and things like that. So that really, really helps.
You mentioned the game against Scranton as a freshman. Are there other games, moments that when you think back to your college career immediately rise to the top?
I definitely, the year that we, I believe it was my junior year when we went to ECACs and we won that, my junior, that was awesome. My senior year, we upset Kings in the MAC playoffs to get to Scranton again, but this time we were at Scranton in the championship game. And I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, because I feel like I can remember the moment, there was not much time left on the clock. I had gotten fouled. I needed to make at least one to seal it. I missed the first one. I remember the other team called a timeout. Kings called a timeout, brought me in. And then I had, at that point, I just had to make the one. And I remember one of our assistants pulling me aside and Noma's trying to distract me from what they were talking about in the huddle. And, but I remember coach saying like, you know, when she makes this, you know, this is what we need to do. And, you know, sure enough, I went in and made the second one. That was again, one of those key victories that I feel like, again, was just really good for the program. And I had an opportunity to be a big part of that. And as a senior, that was really great to make that championship game.
Did you always figure you were going to coach? Like that was whatever it looked like was to be determined, but coaching was going to be something you pursued?
It definitely was. I always felt like I just wanted to continue to be around the game. I enjoyed, obviously, I became a teacher. So I guess, you know, the teaching part of it was always something that I enjoyed. And then, you know, the fact that I went into teaching, I knew that that would give me the availability to coach, you know, which is really important. And obviously, because it, you know, certain professions make it harder to be able to coach. So I was able to still work full time and, you know, be able to be around the game. And like I said, be able to coach at all different levels at that point when I first started. And then once I got into high school, it just skyrocketed from there.
What was the on-ramp to coaching? Like what was the first door that opened?
Yeah. So for me right out of school, I went back to school and got my, through Westchester's master's program, I was able to get my certification in elementary education. So as I was doing that, I was doing some side stuff. You know, with trainings and things like that. I did some training for the Cabrini women's team really early on. I did their conditioning preseason stuff. And then from there, I was teaching at Avengrove Middle School and still at the time, and I was able to coach there and then took a little time off to have kids. I had 3 daughters kind of in between. And then fortunately I ran into Tom Schertz, who, like I said, what happened to be my, on my high school staff, my senior year. And, you know, we got to talking and it was right after I had my 3rd daughter. And, you know, he's like, hey, I just took over at Downingtown East. Do you want to come on board with me? And, you know, from there, like I said, it just, the rest is kind of history after that. You know, I learned a ton from him just in, you know, everything that he did for the game. And, you know, just he was able to mentor me a lot, you know, and I worked with, you know, another amazing coach in Tino Nicholson. So I really just learned a lot. And I feel like I just paid attention. Like I paid attention to what to do, what not to do. And I really do feel like I was able to connect with the players at that level and really make a difference, which was awesome.
Anything surprise you when you started coaching as far as what went into it, how you responded to things, maybe things that you didn't appreciate, not appreciate, but what went into it as a player, but now you're on the other side like, oh, now I get it. You know, anything like that?
I do. A lot of the behind the scenes stuff, I think as a player, you don't understand some of the stuff that goes in. I think one thing that I appreciate more now than ever that you maybe don't appreciate as much as a player is how much time a head coach puts into this, especially if they're as passionate as I am, you know, but I truly believe that my players at Ruston and, you know, the players that I coach in AAU, I think they understand my passion. I don't make that a secret. And I have a lot of energy, but I think that they know how much a coaching staff puts into this and how much time behind the scenes that they don't see, whether it's watching film or just making sure that they have what they need for road trips and things like that. You don't want to always use that and say, well, guys, I'm doing this all the time. You know, you need to do this. But like, I feel like once the kids understand, I feel like gratitude goes a long way. And as a player, I don't know if I ever realized how much goes on when we're at school and when we're, you know, especially a coach like myself, who's also working a full-time job at the same time, you know, finding time to juggle work, family, and also be successful at what you do, which, you know, it really does take a village to do it. And, you know, my coaching staff at Ruston was amazing. And, you know, we collaborated really well together and through that. But I definitely learned that there's a lot more that goes on that the kids don't see.
You mentioned several times a teacher and coach, they're kind of different parts of the same chromosome as far as the skill sets. But I also think that being a teacher does deepen the toolbox you have as a coach. You maybe can empathize a little bit more with the kids. You have more of an understanding of what they're dealing with off the court, stuff like that. Do you agree with that? And have you noticed that just having that teacher background, do you feel it's made you a better coach?
Absolutely. And I think that with teaching and with coaching, the one part that is the common denominator is the fact that it's about personal connections. You know, just like, you know, I teach math. That's what I've taught, you know, my whole career, you know, and it's not about the numbers. It's about the people. And I truly believe that, you know, a team takes on the personality of their head coach. And I feel like making personal connections goes a really long way. I feel like I know that with my students. I feel like making those personal connections are going to help them to want to work harder for me. And I feel like that's the same with my players. So I really do believe that, you know, teaching and coaching really go hand in hand. But the one thing that they both really have in common is that it's really about personal connections.
As a coach, what was the first moment where you felt like you had made a difference, be it in practice, something you worked on with a kid that finally you literally could almost see the light bulb go off that they got it, or something you had worked on with the team and it translated to a game? Do you remember the first time you had, and what was that feeling like?
I don't know if I remember the first time, but I remember the feeling happening multiple times, which is always good. But there's no better feeling as a coach. And I've said this to so many people and so many coaches. There's no better feeling as a coach when you see something click, when you see all that hard work come to fruition. And that feeling is priceless because you know how many hours they've put in, you've put in, and to watch it all come together. And I'm pretty energetic on the sideline, and my kids always joke, you know, how high I get off the ground when something good happens. But it's a pretty cool moment as a coach when everything comes full circle like that. And when you finally see it and then they see it, their joy is probably more priceless than even the moment itself. Like just them, because really it's that buy-in factor. And when they finally see that it works, everything else from there just becomes a lot easier. So, you know, when you first start a coaching job with a new team, there's a lot of teaching and a lot of things that you're trying to put in, because you're trying to put in your own personality. You're trying to put in your own, you know, style of play to it. So it's a work in progress when you first start. But when, you know, and I'll, you know, kind of compare it to when I first started at Ruston and going in and changing everything and, you know, just starting from scratch. There's a lot of time that takes that you don't always have in a high school season. So it does take a little bit to get going, but once it does and you finally see it, and then year to year, it becomes easier to put it in play. It's awesome. There's no better feeling than that.
We have to take a break on One-on-One. We will have more with new Delaware Valley University head women's basketball coach Lauren Stackhouse in just a moment. But right now, there's nothing quite like the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid when it comes to exhilarating efficiency. With hybrid technology and thrilling capability, these vehicles deliver an electrifying performance on every drive. Discover for yourself what truly makes these hybrids special. Redefine your driving experience with Honda, KBB.com's best value brand of 2023. Contact your local Honda dealer today about the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid. And now on One-on-One with Matt Leon, let's return to our conversation with Lauren Stackhouse, the new head women's basketball coach at Division III Delaware Valley University in Doylestown. Now, in addition to the high school, you coached AAU, the Delco Goats, and you co-founded the group,
yes,
right?
Correct.
What was that challenge like? I mean, starting anything from scratch presents its own set of challenges. And once again, you're doing this, oh, by the way, as the mother of three, oh, by the way, teaching full-time, oh, by the way, coaching high school. First of all, why and what was it like?
I think it was just another avenue for me to seek out just more opportunities to be around the game. I think, you know, one of the things for me, you know, and again, it comes back to that teaching piece, is being able to share a game I love with kids. And again, you know, to watch them develop. I had coach players on my 2024 team that I had coached since third, fourth grade. So to have them straight through all that time, you become more to them than just a coach. And I think that's the piece that I enjoy the most. So, you know, for me, having an opportunity to be a part of seeing that over multiple age groups and being able to give that same experience to kids from third grade on has really been awesome. And you meet a lot of really good people. You know, the Delco Goats is an excellent organization in terms of just, we try to make it so that, you know, we're loyal and we're, you know, we create a really good family feel, which I think, you know, makes people want to come back. So I coach multiple teams on that. Like this fall, I coach three teams in the fall. I coach fourth grade, fifth grade, and ninth grade. So it's a lot. A lot of times people will say to me, like, I don't know how you do it. When do you sleep? And I just laugh that off. And I say, well, I sleep really good because by the time I get to bed, I'm pretty tired, but I enjoy it. I love it. And I find the time. And the nice thing is I have three daughters. So it's something that I've gotten to share with them, you know, in the process. So, you know, I feel like my kids are with me a lot of the time. And it's just, you know, like I said, it's just another opportunity to share the game I love with, you know, kids from, you know, all ages, boys and girls. You know, I love running clinics. I love running camps because I really do feel like you get to know the kids so much more on that personal level when you get that much extra time with them.
Do you anticipate any challenges taking this first shot as a college coach? Coaching is coaching, but every level, there's different dynamics, different things you have to deal with. You'll be dealing with players who are a little more polished, who probably have more of a what they've accomplished, you know, stuff like that. Do you anticipate, I don't want to say having to adjust your coaching, but that the landscape will be a little different for the first time? And do you think that will take a little getting used to?
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely some things that would have to get used to. I'm so excited to have a shot clock. I think that's one thing that in high school, I've always wished that they had, and they don't yet, but I have a feeling they will someday soon. So having that shot clock is, I love that it speeds up the game. I like that it, you know, adds another little element of pressure. And I know there's going to be new challenges that I'm definitely anticipating. You know, I said to the players when I got the opportunity to meet them last week, you know, we're all going to make mistakes. I'm going to make them too. You know, people make mistakes, but smart people don't repeat them. So I said, we're going to do the best we can to learn and move forward because, you know, and I'm excited too, because, you know, one of the things that I always preach is that progress is made when you're pushed outside your comfort zone. So I'm excited to be pushed outside my comfort zone a little bit. You know, like you said, coaching is coaching to an extent, but there's definitely going to be some things that I'm going to have to get used to, and I'll have my hiccups and things like that, but I'm eager. I'm excited. I love it. I love a good challenge. So I'm looking forward to the, whatever that brings.
When you start college coaching, I personally would be overwhelmed by the idea of recruiting, where the hotspots, so many kids, keeping everything straight with all the different places that you have been working and developing kids in the area. I would imagine you are hitting the ground running with a very good idea of who's who and what's what that maybe a lot of first year college coaches are not going to have at their disposal.
Yeah, I already have a lot of lists going. I have a lot of lists. Definitely being a major part of the AAU world, I think is really going to bode well for me. I'm already a part of, in terms of just the coaching aspect, I'm already a part of the events that, you know, coaches need to be at. It's going to give me firsthand, you know, contact with these kids. And I, not only am I going to get, they'll get to see me coach on the sidelines at different times, but I'm going to get to watch them as an opposing coach even sometimes, which, you know, not a lot of coaches get to do. So when you're literally coaching against them and you're looking at a kid like, oh, you know, that's a player I'd like to see come and, you know, play for me at the next level. I think the AAU world really allows me to, like I said, really have access to a lot of kids, or just have my eyes open all the time, which is great. So I have a lot of lists going already. Obviously being a local coach to this area, it's a good spot because it's not super close to Del Valle, but it's a place that, you know, kids can, if they want to be a little bit closer to home, but still want to feel like they're away, it's a good spot.
So mentioned Laura Hogan retired. You played for her at Del Valle. What do you take away specifically from her coaching style that you feel like is a part of you?
I said I loved everything about my 4 years there. One thing I always appreciated about Coach was she was very blunt, very to the point. She didn't sugarcoat anything. But one thing I always remember that she always said was that you shouldn't be worried if I'm yelling at you. You should be worried if I'm not yelling at you. So I really feel like the accountability piece was really big with her. And I think that I knew that when she was, whether it was yelling at me or, you know, even just, I could feel her stress. It was because she expected more of me, or she was holding me to a higher standard. So I always think about that when I'm approaching different things with different kids. I think sometimes you have to, you obviously knowing your personnel and knowing your players, I think you need to know like who you can, you know, use a higher tone with and who you can't. Every kid is a little bit different. But I always appreciated the straightforwardness. I always appreciated that she was holding me accountable because, you know, a lot of times I didn't want to make her mad, or I knew I was going to work really, really hard. So, and the best part about it was, like, when I did and it showed, she let me know. I mean, I knew it both ways. I knew when I wasn't doing what she needed me to do, and I knew when I was. So I think she had a really good balance of that. And like I said, I appreciated that because I feel like it made me a better person moving forward. And I think it definitely, through the 4 years, every year I got better because of it, because I wanted to work hard for her. I didn't want to let her down. I didn't want to get yelled at, but in a good way.
I think it's unusual, because I think when a lot of players are in those types of situations, a lot of times they realize it down the road. 10, 15 years ago, they're like, now I get what you were trying to do, and thank you. But it sounds like in real time, you kind of understood the assignment, what, you know, like you said, worry if I'm not yelling at you. Like, you kind of got the dynamic of what was at play there, which I think is unusual for a college athlete.
Yeah, I think I understood the message. I did. And I'm a pleaser. So I personally really pushed myself sometimes, you know, sometimes too hard. Even sometimes I didn't even give my body a break when I probably should have. But like I said, I feel like she did it in a way that, you know, there were times where I you would leave the gym like mad at her because you're like, she didn't cut me one break today. Like, I don't understand. Like, I felt like I did everything good, but, you know, and maybe some of it I didn't realize until a couple of years later, but I knew by the time I was a senior what she expected, because I could see it coming through with freshmen as they're coming in. So you start to realize, you look down at the underclassmen, and you're like, okay, you just got to do it. You've got to keep working. You got to push through. Like, this is the way it is, but you're going to get it. And when it finally clicks, it does make a difference. But I think, you know, maturity obviously comes into play with that as well as you progress.
How would Lauren Stackhouse, the player, respond to being coached by Lauren Stackhouse, the coach?
I'll be honest, I would have loved myself as a player. I love kids that are gritty. I love kids that want to dive on the floor. Like, I really do. I appreciate hustle and hard. I always say it's something you can't teach. So kids that already have that, and I love kids that can play fast. I'm pretty high energy, and I think it's evident, you know, even on the sidelines and at practices and things like that. So I don't know if I would have liked myself. I don't know, but I would have liked myself as a player, that's for sure.
Do you feel that what you consider success as a coach has changed as your career has gone on? Like, what would be the most satisfying 15 years ago is maybe not the same thing that's the most satisfying now?
I think, well, you know, at this point, you know, you're striving for longevity. You know, you want to be consistent. I think that's really important. You know, I was really fortunate at my time at Ruston to have such a strong group of players, but I feel like they all were unique in their roles, and they embraced their role, each and every one of them. And, you know, they just made the team better. And I think, you know, success each year, especially in public school, is going to look different, because in public school, you coach the kids you get. You know, you can't recruit. You get who you get within your district lines. So each year you're kind of dealt a different hand, kids come and go, and you're competing with private schools even. So I think each year you kind of reevaluate what success looks like for that group. But I think in the end, it's when you get to the end of a kid's 4 years and they're still texting you and they're still reaching out and they're still seeking you out for advice, or, you know, you're still checking in with them. I think that becomes a bigger success piece right there, because, you know, you made a difference outside of the 4 years. Like, and I really do believe that my players that I've had over the course of, you know, 14, 15 years of coaching at the high school level, you know, whether it was at Downingtown East or Ruston, you know, I still keep in touch with these players. And I think that is important to me now, especially as I get older, because I want my kids to have coaches like that as well.
Do you feel like becoming a mother changed you as a coach?
I don't know. I feel like it added more value, because the family piece, you know, became greater. My kids became a part of the team just as much as the players. I have one in every kind of stage of life right now. I have an 18-year-old who's at college. I have a 15-year-old who just started her freshman year in high school. And I have a 9-year-old who's in fourth grade. So I kind of cover the whole spectrum of age groups. And, you know, my 9-year-old, I think, is just as excited as I was to meet the team. You know, she's probably even more excited than I am. So because my kids are gym rats and they love to be a part of it, but it's also because they feel like they're a part of the team and they feel welcome. And for me, I always say to my players, I can't thank you enough for embracing my kids as much as you do, because it means so much to these kids. Like, my 9-year-old last year as a third grader, I went into conferences and her teacher said, well, I know more about Ruston basketball than I think anybody on the planet, because all your kid does is talk about it. So that's pretty cool. But it's really the players she talks about and how she idolizes her older sister, you know, those things, you know. So I feel like that definitely has changed it, because my family has become a part of the basketball family as well.
As a coach, do you prefer practice or games?
I love the games. I love the anticipation of the games. But I love the feelings at practice that you get with the kids, because you get an opportunity to interact with them, joke around, you know, become a part of their lives, check in. You know, I value those parts too, but I would be lying if I said I didn't love the games.
And taking over the program at Del Valle, obvious excitement. Where does, if at all, does nervousness figure in? Because not only is it a new job, but it is a job at your alma mater, a program that means an awful lot to you. It's not everyone's average first time job. Do you think there's extra nerves at play because of that?
I think I put a lot of pressure on myself just to succeed and, you know, really push myself and go all in. And I never do anything half speed. So for me, I think the biggest thing is I feel like I need to get in there and be able to be in there every day. And hopefully that happens soon, because I think the only thing that's stressing me out a little bit right now is just the fact that I need to learn the ins and outs of like the administrative stuff within the university that I need to learn as, you know, a quote unquote new profession. But the coaching is what I want to get in there and do. So I feel like, you know, the taking the time to learn all the other stuff, but also be able to devote as much time as I need to my players and to my sport. And obviously, I have big shoes to fill too. I want to do my coach proud. I want to continue what she's started. And that's really important to me as well, which is one of the reasons I took the job, because I feel like it's a special place to me. It's a special place to my family. It's where I met my husband, you know, so there's a lot that I value, and I'm very as much passionate about the university as I am about the sport of basketball. So I feel like I'm probably putting a little bit of pressure on myself in that respect too.
Lauren Stackhouse, this was great. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And that will do it for this week's episode of One-on-One with Matt Leon, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love. Want to thank Lauren Stackhouse, the new head women's basketball coach at Division III Delaware Valley University, for being our guest this week. Now, if you like the show, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, do us a favor, leave us a rating and a review. You can follow the show on X at One-on-One Pod. You can follow me there as well at MattLeon1060. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to check us out again next week when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.